everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Westgate Chapel. We're so glad that you're here. Why don't you stand, and we're going to start our morning in musical worship today.
It's good to be here. You may be seated. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name is Rob Zimmerman, lead pastor here at Westgate, and I'm thankful that you have chosen to worship with us today. As some of you may know, but those of you that might be guests will not know, today is a very special Sunday for us as a church. Today is our annual meeting where we're going to be taking a look back during our service at 2024, at this last year, kind of talking about and celebrating, worshiping God for all that he did, and the amazing ways in which he has moved in this church, but also we're going to be taking a look forward at what God is calling us to in this coming year, and how God wants to continue to grow us and allow us to be a part of what he is doing in reaching people that are far from God in our community. And so if you are a guest here today, we are so thankful that you are here. Today is a little bit different, though, than a normal Sunday service, but I believe you will learn a lot about who we are and our DNA as a church, but also for you regular attenders today, again, is a great day for us just to give glory and worship to God. Secondly, this awesome guy standing here next to me, he is going to be, Pastor Randy Fall, he is our care pastor here at Westgate. He is actually going to get us back into our series in Galatians next Sunday. He'll be preaching the word with us, but he is here to share with you a little bit more as we get into our service today. Give him a huge round of applause again, would you?
Wow. Well, how about that? Just kidding. Welcome, everybody. How do you follow up with that? I am excited about that. Bring your Bibles or your electronic devices, because I'm going to be in the Word of God. I get four verses to pull out some excellent Holy Spirit-led information for all of us to live a surrendered life. For you guys that are here for the first time, we actually have at the guest center a gift for you. It's simply to show you the love of Christ, get to know you, get some information so that you don't just walk out of here and no one has a clue that you were even in here. We want to know who you are. You'll find also a communication way is the connection card. In the pew in front of you, you'll see a connection card. That's a way to communicate with our staff, with me, with Pastor Rob, Pastor Adam, any of the staff, Julianne. If you need questions answered or you have questions that need to be answered, they are looked at. Your prayer requests that are on there get prayed over and added to the certain areas where they need to be added to. So fill out that connection card if you can. Drop it in the offering buckets or these receptacles you'll see at the back of the wall. We also encourage you to check out the Westgate Chapel app. It's a fantastic resource for staying connected, finding out what's happening, and following along with the sermon notes. So if apps aren't your thing, visit our Facebook page or our website for more information. Now, on a little bit more somber note, I get the honor and the privilege to introduce a program that we've been doing for the last three semesters, if you will, at least. It's called Grief Share. There are people in this room, everyone here probably has experienced the loss of a loved one. I want to invite you to come to our Grief Share program that starts this Tuesday, February 4th. It's not this Tuesday, but it's February 4th. And it's going to be right out the main entrance. The doors will be open at 6 p.m. And we're going to have a registration fee, a one-time fee of $20. And you'll walk right into the chapel where we'll take care of that. And you're going to be loved on by some awesome people that love serving those who have lost a loved one. I invite you, if you have any questions about what does that entail, because it could be so raw, you don't even know where to start. I'll be at a table right outside of this, where the coffee is, the W Cafe. I have a little table there, and I can answer your questions. I would love to do that. So Grief Share happens February 4th. Doors open at 6 p.m. We'll be meeting in the chapel, and you can enter through the main entrance. Now, meet and greet. Let's take a moment to greet those around us and tell somebody how happy you are to hear that Randy's preaching next Sunday. Go ahead, greet each other.
worship a God who does the impossible. Amen.
With just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds me. With just one word, the darkness has to retreat. With just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. With just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
You believe that?
With just one word, You heal what's broken inside. Just one word, and He revived every dream. With just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. With just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing.
Our God is a God of miracles, amen.
I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree. There's no power like the power.
Come on, agree.
I will believe for greater things. Faith arise, let all agree, there's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things, there's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise, let all agree, there's no power like His power. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not and that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Oh, there's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a prison wall He can't break through. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that
God praise. Amen.
Oh, Christ is my firm foundation.
stand when everything around me is shaken. No, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus.
Foundation, oh, the rock on which I
Yes, give God praise. Yes, give God praise. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and as we come to a time here in just a moment, I've taken our offering. One to let you know, many of you were here last week when we prayed over our Costa Rica mission team and commissioned them, and I believe we got a phone call or a text at 3:03 a.m. this morning that they arrived and were picked up by Luke and Maddie Hadid. So thankful that our team of young adults is there, and they are headed into an incredible week of ministry. They're sharing the good news of Jesus with people that are far from God. And so as a church, we want to commit ourselves this week to continue to pray for them and to ask for God's blessing over their ministry, that His Spirit would lead them directly into conversations with people that are seeking and searching after God, and that God would just do an incredible work of bearing fruit in the lives of people through their ministry. So let's commit ourselves to that. And as we go to prayer, again, I thank you for your faithfulness in giving to Westgate Chapel and its ministries. It's because of that faithfulness and generosity that we're able to do things like sending support teams like this, mission teams down to Costa Rica and all around the globe, truly to share the good news of Jesus. So thank you for that. Let's take a moment and offer this time of giving as part of our worship to the Lord. God, we give you thanks. Thank you so much for allowing us again the opportunity to gather together as your church. Lord, we thank you. You've given us this community where we can be known. We thank you that you've given us a community where we can grow deeper in our relationship with you. But Father, we thank you that you've given us a community where we can be a part of making your name great in this world. Lord, this morning we continue to lift up our Costa Rica team. Thank you, Lord, for your provision in getting them to Costa Rica safely. God, we thank you for your provision and providing the resources that were necessary to get there. We ask, God, that you would continue to provide for them for good health this week, for safety, but also, God, that your Spirit would work powerfully through them and use them to draw those who are far from you to a saving knowledge of your Son. Lord, that you would use them in the lives of the missionaries and international workers that are there in Costa Rica to be an encouragement and an uplift to them as they continue to serve you. As well, God, we pray that you would be doing a work in and through every individual on this team, that God, they would have a deeper understanding of not only the surrender of their hearts and lives to you, God, but the ministry that you're calling them to. Would you just bring clarity into their lives about how you want to grow them through this experience? And we will give you all of the praise and glory and honor for it, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity that we have each week, God, to give back to you in our offering. It is truly our act of worship, not out of compulsion, but Father, with joyful hearts that we give because you allow us to be a part, God, of your work in this world, of seeing people come to a saving knowledge of your Son. Lord, you have done an incredible work in our hearts, and so we pray that you would multiply these gifts and do an even greater work in the hearts of others. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here on the center aisles, you can grab those offering baskets. You can begin to pass them out to the sides, and they're up in the corners in the balcony. You can pass those in, and we'll just continue in a spirit of worship as we take up our morning offering. Hey, would you guys do me a favor? Would you thank our ushers, by the way, for just their service every single week? You know, these guys serve week in and week out, guys and gals, and serve regularly behind the scenes and just do a phenomenal job. So I am so thankful for each of them. I'm going to get myself in trouble here for just a minute, but I've got to say I've got one of my favorite people in town, and that is my sister, Christine. She's going to hate me for this. My sister flew in from Texas last night. we invited her to watch our kids while we go out of town. I said, I'm going to a warm climate. Why don't you come to minus 22 and enjoy it? So she came in last night, and we're thankful that she's here. If you don't, you know, I just want you to know, if you see me putting my arm around her and you're like, that's not Rochelle, it is my sister. So, but I love having her here with us. I have been put on a moratorium. I am not allowed to tell stories about our upbringing this morning, like me throwing binoculars at her face or other great things like that. So if you've been here, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I will tell you about when I was a senior in high school, was when I began to get my own personal call into full-time pastoral ministry. Through a number of events in my life, of things that I went through, but also people that God had placed in my life, I felt like God was saying to me, Rob, I want to use you and I want to use your life for my purposes to reach people that don't know me, but also to pour into people that do, and to love them well and to encourage them and to teach them what it means to walk with me. And when I got that call into ministry, I was very passionate about that. I was like, I want to make a difference. I want to jump in and I want to do stuff great with God. And I was really excited about that. And I signed up to go to school at Biola University, where I begin to work on my degree and pursue becoming a pastor. But here, there was this quandary that I felt when I jumped into school, because school was great. I was surrounded by people that loved Jesus, that were going into ministry. We had the same heart, but there was something in my classes that struck me. The more we talked about ministry, it felt like we were talking about how to grow the size of a church or the size of a ministry, and talking about like strategic planning and like things you can do in order to make that happen. And the quandary that I think I felt in my heart was like, I went into ministry with this deep passion of, all right, I'm going to go in and we're going to talk about like how we partner with God and like pour into people's lives. And it felt like at times so much of the conversation was about how you can orchestrate certain things within a church that will draw a crowd and bring more people in or into a ministry. And I remember that not sitting super well with me. And about halfway through my time in school, we used to go to chapel 3 times a week. Most people did. I had to listen to a lot of tapes. But anyway, that's a side story. I shouldn't tell you that. There's one chapel in particular that really stood out to me. You will know a person by the name of Francis Chan. Francis Chan came to speak at Biola for chapel, and he was actually speaking out of Acts 2 one morning. And I can remember that as he was speaking about the early church and what God was doing and how God was bringing them together in community and lives were being changed, he made a statement that has always stuck with me but resonated with what I was struggling with in my heart, which is this. He said, you know, you can have a really great worship band. You can have a really excellent speaker as a pastor. You can do a whole lot of great events, and you can draw an incredible crowd. But it will not guarantee that those people are discipled and that people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. You can throw a concert and people will show up. But it does not guarantee that real spiritual transformation is taking place in the lives of the people that enter into your church. And that is the most important thing. And I will tell you, from the moment I heard that, my heart just was full of joy hearing somebody speak those words, because it's the very reason that I got into ministry, is that I wanted to be a part of what God was doing in people's lives, to see them come to faith in Jesus, to see their lives as they deepen in their trust and surrender to him, and then using their lives to go out and make an impact in our world for the kingdom. I was excited about seeing those things happen. And Francis Chan read to us from Acts chapter 2, and I'll read that to you this morning. You can look at it if you have your Bibles, or it'll also be here on the screen. But as he read it, it resonated with me what was taking place in the early church. In the early church in Acts chapter 2, you'll remember that Peter is up and he's giving this incredible spirit-filled sermon of all that Jesus Christ has done on the cross to pay the penalty for sin and calling people to salvation. And it says in verse 41 that those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. When I read that, I go, whoa, that's incredible. Like, I could only dream of that taking place. And then it said, if you continue in verse 42, that those who made a profession of faith to follow Christ, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as anybody had need. And day by day, they attended the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And what? The Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. You know, the thing that every single time I read this passage, and I remember back, goodness, how many years? 7.5 years ago when I became the lead pastor here at Westgate, that the passion that God put in my heart really flowed out of this, and I would ask this question over and over and over again, and I continue to this day. God, in a world and even in a church in America that at times it seems like we're trying to grow the church by being attractional and by having the best music or having the best things for people to engage in, could it ever be possible, God, that once again you would grow your church because lost people are coming to a saving knowledge of your Son? I long for the day where 3,000 people will come to Jesus Christ. I long for the day where the church is integrating with each other, living life together, caring for each other, generously providing for each other's needs, worshiping together, fellowshipping together, and where day by day, more and more people are getting saved. Do you see that dream that we have in Scripture? And I would ask you, as the church of Westgate Chapel, is that the dream that God has placed in your heart for His church? That we exist to be here to worship Him with all of our hearts, but to be a part of His mission of reaching those who are far from Him. I share that with you this morning because over the last 2.5 years, we have been in a 5-year initiative together, vision initiative that is entitled Deep Roots and Broad Reach. And it really flows out of what I saw here in Acts chapter 2. What I saw was a church that was submitting and surrendering themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives, that they were putting Him first. And as they put Him first, they were growing in deeper intimacy with each other. They were caring well for each other. They were caring well for the community that surrounded them. And because of that, the byproduct of what God was doing in their heart was He was creating a broader reach amongst them to reach more and more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. For the last 2.5 years, this has been the very precipice of the vision that we believe God has given us. We want to be a church that is growing deep roots in our relationship with God, where we are focusing on surrendering more and more of our hearts to Him and allowing His desires and His mission to be the things that come first in our lives. One of the ways that we believe we do this is through life groups. We believe that the greatest way to grow in a relationship with Christ is by being in community with each other. Go back to the other slide, if you would, Sherry. In this previous slide, what you'll see is that our goal that we set out was to have 80% of people involved over 5 years in a life group here at Westgate. As well, we said we wanted to see 80% of our church serving and using their gifts, believing that as we do that, it will help foster a community where we are growing deeper with Christ. And a byproduct of that is that we would have a broader reach in our community and around the world with the gospel. Because of that, the second part of our vision initiative you'll see there is broad reach. And we set out some different goals. We said we wanted to reach 250 new households in our community over this 5-year period. We wanted to see 250 people either make a profession of faith or be baptized. We wanted to complete the renovation of our worship center because we believed that it needed updating in order to be a welcoming place for our community for years. We were able to do that. We also wanted to launch and still want to launch a residency program to train up future missionaries and pastors. But this is the vision that has been driving us. And I've had some people ask me, Rob, are we just becoming a numbers-driven church? And I want to be very clear. Like, some people get really into the numbers, and they use them almost as a bragging tool. Like, hey, look what I did. hopefully you've been around long enough to know my heart, that that is not my desire. And I hope that our desire as a church is that God receives glory for anything that happens in this building or through his people. But number two, the reason that we have put these numbers out is because it helps us to be able to measure and to understand, are the efforts we're putting forward in seeking to grow deeper in Christ and also have a broader reach, are they being effective? And how can we understand that, but also very visibly see what God is doing in our lives and also through our lives? And today, as we have our annual meeting together, I want to share a little bit with you about what God has been doing over this past year, but also over the past 2.5 years. As we go to this next slide, what you'll see is this, just to give you a couple of updates, and I should mention at the close of the service as you leave today, you will get a big color brochure that is our annual report that will have all of this and more information in it. You can grab one per family, but here's a couple of updates. Last year in our life group ministry, we saw 41 people join a life group last year, which is fantastic. We also now have roughly 475 people in our church, adults, that are involved in a life group. 38 total life groups, and our percentage has hit 77%. We began back somewhere around 65%, and so over 2.5 years, we've made a really large jump. Can we just give praise to God for that? More people getting connected, doing life with each other, and growing deeper in the relationship with Christ. Now, here's the great thing. As we grow, that percentage becomes a moving target. I'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But we haven't even counted in the numbers from last week's life group connect party where we had people signing up to be in life groups, even more connecting. We're excited about what God is doing as we grow in our community with each other, but also grow deeper with Christ. Another thing that I want you to see that's happening that I think, again, is a byproduct of our church surrendering our hearts to God and following him in his mission. I want you to see that when we think about having a broad reach, we have seen God leading people to a saving knowledge of his son in a way that we haven't in years. This past year in 2024, we had 68 people make a first-time decision to follow Christ. Can we give praise to God for that? That is cool. And that, by the way, When I give an invitation, I'll ask people to raise their hand, and that's more so for me to be connected with what's going on in the room. I don't count hands. My eyesight, by the way, has gotten really bad, and these lights are not good. But we only count cards that get turned in because we want to be able to walk a journey with you as you begin a relationship with Christ in discipling you and helping you to grow deeper in your relationship with him. 68 people. But what that means is since September of 2022, we've seen 131 people make a first-time decision to follow Christ. That is more than the previous 13 years combined. It is incredible. And so praise God for that. God is good. I say that because here's the deal. I am not touting this church. I am touting your humility and surrender to Christ. Because here's the deal. So many of these stories of people who are coming to Christ are coming because you are reaching actively your circles. When you are sharing your faith, I can't even begin to tell you over this last year how many of those numbers have happened not in this church building, but it's because you have had conversations with people, been faithful to share the gospel, and have come back and told us, hey, by the way, my friend accepted Jesus. And so praise God for what he is doing in that. Another number you'll see up here, 35 people followed the Lord in baptism this year, and that means since September of 2022, we've had 102 people follow the Lord in baptism. That's that last number. Sherry, if you'll throw that up, 102 people since 2022. As you look at these numbers together, you will notice one thing. If I put 131 and 102 together, that equals what? 233. Our goal was 250. You know what that means? My faith was really small when we set that goal. And I'm going to confess that to you. I remember when we started this and I'm looking and going, man, we haven't had hardly anybody receive Christ over the years. And I felt like, man, 250 felt like an overcoming number for people getting baptized and that. What has amazed me is that what God has been teaching me as your pastor is that he is so much more powerful than I could ever imagine. And his spirit can do far more than I could ever imagine if we trust him. And so I'm thankful to God for what he has been doing in this way. Because of this, we've seen a lot of growth as a church. On this next slide, what you're going to see is this. We said we wanted to reach 250 new households. In 2024, we reached 87 new households that connected here into the life of the church that are still here. Since September of 2022, 139 new households have connected into our church family as well. Because of that, we in November and December of this last year saw that on an average Sunday, our attendance was 888 people. That is a 13.4% growth over 2023. And since September of 22, when we began the initiative, it is a 29.6% growth rate. That is incredible to me as I think about what God is doing. And just over the last 2 weeks, our average so far in January, I think, is 940. Here's the deal. Every single Sunday, our staff talks about the fact we are meeting new people, and it's new people, some that are coming from other churches, which if that is where God is leading you, that is great. But our target especially is people that are far from God. And we have been meeting so many people that are bringing their friends that don't know the Lord into our services. And we are thankful because what God is developing within this church is a heart for people that are far from God. And we want to share the good news of Jesus with them. And so I, as your pastor, I want to say thank you. This has been one of the most riveting years for me to be in ministry and to see how when God's people surrender their heart to him, that he moves powerfully and works through them and bears much fruit. With that being said, our leadership this year has been going through a book together, from our staff to our elders as a church. The book is called You Found Me. If you want to write it down and check it out sometime, it's written by a gentleman by the name of Rick Richardson, You Found Me. And what I've loved about this book is that the book, like most ministry books that you read, just so you're clear, a lot of times they're like, you need to do X, Y, and Z in order to grow a better, stronger, healthier church and, you know, have better outreach programs. What Rick Richardson does in this book is absolutely the opposite. The first three quarters of the book focuses on the individual that is reading it, the pastor, the ministry worker, the elder, the lay leader. And he speaks directly to us and says, hey, if you want to see a mighty move of the power of God in your church, when it comes to reaching people that don't know Jesus, it begins with you. You must change first. And when your heart and your life is changed, it will become a testimony to other people and will galvanize them to be a part of what God is doing as well. I want to share two quotes with you that you saw on the screen. The first one is this. He says specifically, sometimes few new people commit to Christ in our world today because we never ask and invite a response. One of the things that people say is, you know what, it's too hard to lead people to Jesus because people are too polarized against Christ in our culture today. And I want to tell you that that is absolutely false. It is absolutely false. I don't think there's been a time in my personal life where I have found that people are more open to the things of God than ever. We live in a world where the foundations are shaking and things are falling apart, and people are looking for something to put their hope and trust in. And so people are far more open to spiritual conversations. I appreciate what he said because I think that's something we need to hold on to. People won't come if we don't invite and ask them. Secondly, he says when congregations recover the mission, the passion, and the conviction of Jesus, they will continue to grow and be bright lights and savory salt in their communities. Essentially, what he's telling us is that as we surrender more and more of our hearts to Christ, as we align our hearts with his mission, not only will we see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, but people will come and continue to flock to the place where they experience and see the very power of God at work and moving. And this morning, I want you to hear from a few of our elders. I'm actually going to invite them to come and join me on stage. As they come, would you welcome them, by the way, as they come? This is Isaac Villa, Edward McKinney, and Tom Moore. Now, these are three of our elders. I'll explain all of this someday later to you. This will blow your mind. We've got 21 elders here at Westgate. Don't worry, they don't all do the governing decision-making. A smaller group of them does that. But we have 21 elders because we believe that the call of an elder in our church is to be involved in ministry, shepherding the church, and pouring into the lives of people. That is the primary biblical role of an elder. And I will tell you that I believe our elder team not just these three guys, but our team as a whole is one of the best elder teams in the world. And I don't say that lightly, because I will tell you their humility, the way that they love Christ and want to be a part of his mission, but even more how they are allowing themselves to be transformed day by day is something that is an inspiration to me. And so I'm excited for you to get to meet just three of them here this morning. And Edward, I'm going to obviously let you start. You've got the microphone, but would you guys each just take a moment and share with everyone here, what is one thing that you have loved about what you see God doing at Westgate?
Yeah, so what I've really loved seeing is the yeses are increasing, the yes to God and his leading and following. Several key examples that we might be aware of in the last year, Pastor Steve took a new pastor role. Mm-hmm. John Heisinger was up here sharing a testimony where he just up and went to help people in North Carolina and witnessed to somebody and brought them to Jesus on the way. And I serve in Bible quizzing, and Emmy and Izzy felt the Lord's calling strongly to worship. And they prayed about it, and they obeyed. They stopped doing something that they liked doing to follow the Lord in deeper, and certainly the Costa Rica team. So it's just God is moving in here, and it's awesome to see.
That's awesome. Isaac.
Yeah, so the things I want to focus on are vulnerability and love. And what I've seen in a group and in people in this church, especially those in our direct circle and our elder group, is a vulnerability to say, I don't have it all together. I don't know everything, and my life's not perfect. In that vulnerability, I can see I need community. I need the community of the people around me, and I need Jesus. And those same people can then see, well, if I need Jesus, then the people in my circle are also probably broken and also need Jesus. And we see people in this church, and we see tons of stories of people reaching out in their hands and being the hands and feet of Jesus in their own circles and saying, I want to share with you the love that I feel. And it's just been awesome to see it, to hear your stories, to hear about them in our elder meetings that are happening, and some of the most amazing things that you all are doing. I love seeing that.
Awesome. Tom.
Thank you. You know, I love seeing the growth in the prayer team ministry. I love it when Westgate had an event downtown at the Ribbon and everybody went ice skating. Mm-hmm. But I particularly love the relationships that we're able to develop, you know, especially through life groups. You know, but let me, just before the service started, I kind of adopt daughters across the country that I meet for, you know, just kinda. And one of them told me today, just before service, she's expecting twins. I thought, ho. It's awesome. But our life group in particular, they teach me stuff about Christ, stuff about Scripture. Norm, Paul, Brent, Vera, Keith, and the wives. It's relationships. It takes a large church, and the life group becomes our small church. And I just saw that scripture up there. It said, light, be the light and the salt. Norm's always said that. I understood the light part. I still have to learn the salt part from him, but really, really cool stuff.
That's great. That's great, Tom. And, you know, I would ask you guys again another question. As we've been going through this book together, one of the things that Rick Richardson has been talking about is that many pastors in many churches, many elders in many churches, all the way down to the average lay person, rarely share their faith in Christ. And for me, that was a punch in the face. I thought about, like, do we really, as leaders in the church, prioritize our own individual sharing of the gospel? What I have loved, as you mentioned, Isaac, is the vulnerability that has been shown amongst our elders as we talk about this. And so I would ask you guys to just share with everybody, what has God been teaching you as we digest this book and material together, and maybe spend time talking about our own efforts to reach people in our circles that are far from God?
Yeah, so an actual story or an example. I'm in the line of banking work. and one of my customers, unfortunately, went into Toledo Hospital, and it dawned on me he has nobody around, and he has a kitty cat. So I said, Mike, I will come to the hospital. I will get your key fob to get in and out and let the cat in and out. But while I was there, it kind of dawned on me as we've been going through this book, we're in the hospital here, so let's, it's not life-threatening per se at the moment, but I just asked him, I said, Mike, do you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And he said, yeah. I said, good, we're going to be talking some more, and I'll take care of your cat. So intentionality and setting it a good example as an elder.
That's great. You missed the real impact of that in the first service, because he didn't tell everybody he was a banker, and then Tom let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. How many bankers do you hear doing that, right?
Exactly. How many bankers?
So that's phenomenal. I love that. Isaac.
Yeah, so the book has really put a lot of focus, like Pastor Rob said earlier, on individual evangelism. What are we doing personally? And I love that it's kind of said, yes, it can be scary. Yes, it can be messy. Maybe you're not sure and confident about what you want to do, but you got to try. And you might fail. You might succeed. But it's very unlikely that the people around you are going to be aggressive or mean or push back against you. In fact, what we've learned is we've seen is a lot of people are hungry for spiritual conversation. And one of the things I loved about in the chapter we just discussed is he used the term twofers, in that everything you're doing has an opportunity for evangelism. One of our elders said, I love to go play pickleball by myself because that means I have a chance to talk to people about Jesus. So think about in your own lives, and that's where I've kind of been focusing on, is where are my opportunities to share Christ in some of the situations that maybe you would never think is the right time.
Let me ask a question. How many of you love to hear stories of how somebody got saved?
Yeah.
And that's right. I agree. So several months ago, it was in the fall. I'm on the landscape team here. So I came to church in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, and I was going to pull weeds out front in the garden because it would look crappy. And
Can you say that in church?
Sorry, it looked bad. And as I pulled in, there's a car there, and I get out, and this young man, 31 years old, he had issues. He had stuff going on in his life, and I didn't know what to say to him, to be honest. I just didn't. I said, well, if you want to talk, I'm here to pull weeds. You want to pull weeds with me? We pulled weeds for an hour and 15 minutes. He came to church the next weekend and got saved.
Praise
now,
God.
I tell you what, I don't think that's going to be in the book that we're learning from. But if you listen to what Pastor's going to be teaching, we're going to learn how to do it.
Amen. Amen. Would you thank each of these guys for coming up and sharing with you this morning? Thank you, guys. Like I said, what I have loved is the vulnerability of our staff and of our elders, because we are wrestling personally with the same thing that I'm talking to you about every week. Who has God put in your circle? Who does he want you to share his love with? What are tangible ways that you can show and share the love of Jesus with them? We've had a lot of ways that we've done that as a community, as a church community over this past year. And just as a quick look back, I want you to take a look at the screen. I've got about a minute and a half video to give you just a snapshot of the many ways that we gathered together as a church, not only to worship, but also to neighbor and to reach people with the good news of Jesus. Pretty fun stuff. Pretty great. I believe that Leo Ward could lead a lot of kids to Jesus. He's so cute. He is awesome. Hey, church, you know, as we look back, it also gives us an opportunity to look forward and to say, hey, God, as we continue in this five-year vision initiative and we seek to allow you to work and move through our lives, what do you want to do? How can we be a part of where you are moving and what you are doing? And so, again, Isaac is here, going to share a little bit with us. Also, Julianne, who, if you haven't met, is our outreach and missions director here at the church. And, you know, I want to just begin by asking you guys, as you look over our church in this last year, what are some of the cool things that you've seen God doing as we have been focusing on our outreach to our neighbors?
Yeah, so I love looking at that video, and we have had a blast in 2024 of events we've done together that are prayed up, and we are intentionally showing and sharing God's love here at Westgate. But when you asked this question, I was like, I have this privilege of stumbling upon and hearing from you guys week after week. Every week, I hear a story of our church in action doing something completely unrelated to Westgate Chapel. It's not an event. There's no facilities request form or this or that. It is you guys just being the church to the people in your circles. And so I started to list all the intentional things you guys do week after week with your coworkers and classmates and family members. That includes Bible studies. There's neighborhood Bible studies. There's the Highland after-school program, a Bible event led by a church family here every week at a public school in Sylvania. There's FCA at Northview High School led by our Westgate High Schoolers gathering their peers to read the Bible and pray for one another at a public school. There's Church Chad going to Door Elementary. There's these block parties and gathering events that are just very, very intentional. And then there's the just out of response to a need, you guys gathering. And so I've been thinking about all the meals I hear you guys taking to people in your circles or a coworker in a time of grief or loss or medical problems. I think of all the, you guys aren't bragging, you're just telling me. I kind of have to hear it and pull it out of you. And there's no pictures to show along the way, but the times that you guys are, just gathering people, yard work when something happens to a neighbor. I have, you know, our Westgate kids gathering their friends to help with tangible needs of people in their circles. I love it. It is just a privilege to hear how our church has been noticing and saying yes to that pairing of tangible needs and spiritual needs. And so I could go on and on. There were so many people, I was like, this person could come up and share, this person could come up and share, but I was only given that much time. So there's so much exciting stuff.
That's awesome. Isaac, how about you?
Yeah, from our end, we've seen it in the discipleship, and from Pastor Rob, from the other staff here, and you've heard them tell stories of not, go do this, but these are the things we are doing. And that's bled into our elder group as we've kind of taken reins to say, well, what are we doing individually? What are we committing to? And hopefully that goes out to the whole church. And for our family, for example, we met these awesome girls at the iFriends event. We've been able to take them to the Ribbon and the Art Museum and just spend time discipling them, being in their lives, being present, showing them grace, showing them truth, and finding all those things. And you saw it in so many pictures in those slides. It's happening in areas all over the church, within the women's ministry, the men's, the young adults. I just love seeing it everywhere, and we're just seeing it in so many ways.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I have loved as we watch, like, there are so many ways that you as a church have been so good at meeting the tangible needs of people, especially I think of like the emotional needs. When people need somebody, when they're far from God and you just look and go, you know what, I can care for you. You throw your arms around people and care for them when they're grieving, helping to meet some of their emotional needs and even some physical needs. But one of the things we've recognized is that oftentimes there are needs that, you know, maybe somebody we're trying to share Christ with, there are needs that we can't meet. And as a staff, we talked about the fact that sometimes those are financial needs and burdens that they're facing, and we're not sure what we could do, but we would love the opportunity to love on them and care for them in the name of Jesus. And so there's a really cool thing that happened this past year that we have been excited about. You know, we have had this thing called a Broad Reach Fund, and our Broad Reach Fund has resources that are in it that allow us to engage with our community and seek to share the good news of Christ with them. But we also received a what we would call a creative gift this past year of someone who donated a house, sold it, and we were able to use the proceeds of that to put into our Broad Reach Fund. And the blessing of that is that what it allowed us to do as a church is to begin to dream about how God could possibly take and use those resources to help us continue to grow in the reaching of our neighbors collectively as a church in our community, but the dream especially around how can we encourage you to continue to reach your neighbors and meet some of those needs. And Julianne, would you tell us a little bit about where those dreams have led us?
Yeah, so again, we wrote this definition of a staff of neighboring, of intentionally building relationships with people in our circles so that they know the love of Jesus. And so when we think about all these cool different ministries we could start, we could create another ministry for this or that, and we might, because those are effective and good, but we just keep noticing that our strongest gift is you guys going out and showing and sharing God's love. And so through these neighboring stories, we were like in prayer, asking God, how do we not create an initiative, or we don't want people to ever become projects, but if there is a barrier in financial needs, what could we do? And so the Love Your Neighbor initiative is kind of a discipleship series of events, of conversations and prayer around a person. If you're walking with someone and there is a financial thing, we would want to give you a $500 grant, up to $500, to say yes, to again cover you in prayer. We never want you to do this alone. This is always for you to find a couple friends or a couple neighbors or your small group or your life group to do this together and to really meet the tangible needs of that person that is far from God. And we never want the money ever attached to Westgate Chapel. We want it attached to you and really ultimately attached to the name of Jesus, that this is a gift just like Jesus has been to us. And so this Love Your Neighbor initiative is really a grant to continue the discipleship process of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and Isaac, could you share with us maybe just a little bit about what excites you about the possibilities with the Love Your Neighbor initiative?
Yeah, Julia and I have had a chance to talk a lot about it, kind of what it could be, and the idea of being able to dream about this. And for a lot of you, looking at people in your life, like, man, if I could just help them a little more. And I think the idea in Genesis 12, a blessed to be a blessing, fits my house and the way we live our lives, is that serving people is important, and it shows them Jesus, and that people aren't projects. They're people we love, and that we want to give them opportunities to see Jesus tangibly, and we want you to dream. I'm excited to see what ideas people come up with, what projects. They're like, man, I'd love some help with this, not just financially, but I'd love people to pray for me. I love people to come alongside of me and take care of people in my neighborhood or my life.
Yeah, and so just in quick summation, again, as we prepare for this in the coming spring, the Love Your Neighbor initiative, we are taking $25,000 from our Broad Reach Fund and setting them aside so that people can apply for $500 grants. You, as you are interacting with people in your circles that are far from God, and you notice there is a need that maybe you couldn't meet, but we could help do that so you can continue to show and share the love of Jesus. And I appreciate what Julianne said. This is not about going out into the community and saying, look at what Westgate is doing. We actually don't want that said. What we want is our people to be equipped to be able to go and to share and show Jesus' love so that he alone would get the glory. And so as we begin for the preparation of this launch in the spring, you're going to get to hear more about it in the months to come. But we are looking for 2 to 3 people who maybe you're out there this morning and you've got people in your life that are far from God and you've been trying to reach them with the good news of Jesus, but you know that there is a huge need that they have where financial resources could be a blessing and also a help, but it could help potentially you continue to show and share the love of Jesus. If 2 or 3 of you know of a situation like that, we would love to test some of our systems that are being put in place for this initiative. I would encourage you to reach out to Julianne. We would love to walk through that process with you so that you can be a part of it. Another piece that we're really excited about is that we want to have a prayer team that is put together during the Love Your Neighbor initiative, where every single grant that goes out is specifically being prayed over, and that God would use it to, again, continue to reach people that are far from God. And so we're excited about this. Reach out to Julianne if you are interested in being a part of that. And would you also thank Isaac and Julianne again for sharing a little bit about this with us this morning? You know, as we move ahead, I hope that what you hear is our passion as a church is to continue to grow deeper in our relationship with Christ. And as we surrender him, to allow him to use our hearts and lives to influence, impact other people's lives for the sake of the gospel. And as we continue to push forward into this year in many different ways, I want us to take just a moment to talk about how it is that we will continue to fulfill the vision that God has given us of reaching people that don't know Christ, of reaching more people in our community, of growing deeper in our surrender and relationship to Jesus Christ. And here's, I got four things for you this morning that I want to give to you is just key things for us as a church for this next year. The first and the most important thing, if this doesn't happen, nothing else happens. And it is this, is that we would continue to grow in our own heart's devotion to Jesus Christ and to his mission. If you make that one of your sole priorities this year, I am confident that we will continue to move in the direction that God wants us to go. Because when we surrender to him, it isn't us just actively doing things and work on our own, but it is the very Spirit of God powerfully moving through us. I want you to take a look at a passage of scripture that helps us to understand this. If you look at John chapter 15, you can turn there if you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps. You can also look at it here on the screen. But in John chapter 15, this is described with such incredible clarity. In verses 5 through 8, Jesus, as he speaks with his disciples, says these words. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Pause. Deep roots, broad reach. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you would bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The most powerful thing about what God can do and is doing within this church is that as we surrender our hearts to him through the power of his Holy Spirit, not only is he taking us to deeper places of surrender, but it is him that is producing the fruit in our lives and in our church. I want you to catch that very clearly this morning because it resonates so much with my heart when I look at you and say, do you long to experience what the early church experienced? Where 3,000 people were getting saved, or day by day, as the church did community and life together and worship God, that day by day people were coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The best part about this passage is it relieves the pressure. It tells you that people coming to that place of surrendering their own heart and life to God is not a work that you have to do in convincing them somehow to believe the right thing. Merely what God calls us to is that as we abide in him, it is the power of his Spirit that not only deepens us in our connection to him, but that moves powerfully through us and produces fruit. In other words, it is the Spirit of God that is active in changing not only our hearts and lives, but the hearts and the lives of others. As a church, I want to call you in this year to come as we continue in this vision together to continue to go deeper in your relationship with Christ, to move to places of deeper surrender, to opening up your hands to God and saying, God, what do you want from me? What do you need from me? How can I join you in your mission? Three other tangible ways. One of the things that we look at is what are roadblocks to us accomplishing this vision and things that we need to see God do in our church if we're going to get to this place of accomplishing what he has set out before us. One of those roadblocks is that we need to continue to grow as a church family in sharing our personal story with other people. Of really looking and seeing who has God placed in my circle that needs to know him and trusting that God can move and work through our own lives. This morning, I've given you a very simple tool of response. You'll see it in the sermon notes. It's called an outreach temperature card. It's kind of inside on that first inside page. This comes directly out of the book that the staff and elders have been reading together. And it's an action step that can move us to a place of intentionality in thinking about who God has put in my circle and what steps am I taking to trust God and allow him to use my life in the life of another person? You'll see there that you can list out people in your life that are not yet following Jesus. It could be friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, coworkers. And then it asks a very important question, one that when I talk about vulnerability with our staff and elders, they have been incredibly vulnerable. It says, what is your outreach temperature? And it kind of gives a bar graph from 1 to 10. Are you in a place of apathy in trusting God with this area of your life? Are you growing in your passion or growing in your practice or growing in your impact? Whatever it may be, it allows you to really take time with God and say, God, where am I at? And what steps would you like me to take to grow? As I said, many of our team and many of our elders have used this. And on a week-to-week basis, we talk about, where is it that I'm at? Am I making this a priority in my life? Am I taking time to pray for people in my life that don't know Christ? Am I taking time to gather with them? Maybe it's for a meal, but to listen to what is going on in their life and to truly care for them as an individual and as a person. Am I looking for opportunities to serve these people and to share and show with them the love of Jesus Christ? But am I also taking time to very specifically share the gospel and the good news and inviting them to say yes to Jesus? I would encourage us as a church to get into a practice of using something like this that will help us to be intentional in reaching people in our lives that God has put in our circles. Secondly, one of the things that I think is really important for us as well as a church, is that we continue to grow in our ability to connect people into life groups. As more people come, the need for more life group leaders is growing and growing rapidly. I love the fact that we're at 77%, but as I shared with you earlier, even if our numbers have jumped by an average of 50 over just the last few weeks since November and December, what that also means is that while we're connecting many people in, there are many more that are going to need to get into community here in this church, growing in the relationship with Christ. But one of the biggest roadblocks we have always experienced is people that are willing to say, God, would you use me to lead a group so that more people coming into this church can find community, but also have people that will pour into them so they can grow deeper in their relationship with Christ. Here's the deal. Sometimes we refuse to say that because we're comfortable. We're like, oh, but I really like my own current group and I just want to be in it for me. Which I get that. That's important to have that place of community. But it's also essentially important for us to ask God the question, God, do you want to use me so that more people can experience what I experience? Do you want to move me out of my own place of comfort so that I can find comfort in a new place where you have incredible growth for me, but also for other people? I want to invite you as a church to join us in prayer, because as we grow, one of our biggest gaps is in this area of needing more life group leaders. If you would even be willing to prayerfully consider being a part of this, you'll see in your notes on the next page where it says life groups. Would you have interest in helping lead or facilitate a life group so more people can connect into community at Westgate? That QR code there, as you scan it, simply asks you for a name and an email address so that we can get in touch with you if you are at least interested in having a conversation. So I would challenge you to go to prayer. This is one very tangible way that you can help us with a roadblock as we continue to grow and invite more people into community together. Finally, one of the other areas that is a constant for most churches is in the area of giving. One of the things that, and I know what happens, the pastor says giving, everybody's ears either turn off or some people feel all this pain from the past. And I want to give a little disclaimer, number one. If you're a guest here with us today, maybe in the future this is for you. But giving, especially when we talk about the giving of our tithes and our offerings, is a conversation for those of us that say, Westgate Chapel is my home. This is a place in a community that I'm investing in. And here's the deal. One of the things that I have learned over the years when it comes to giving is that God has always been faithful to this church, 100%. But one of the things since about 2017, maybe even a few years before, that we've seen is that our giving has been relatively flat, right around what we would say a $2 million, $2.1 million budget. Now, on one hand, I look at this and go, praise God, because we went through COVID and some really big deals, and our giving didn't nosedive like a lot of churches. Can we give praise to God for that? God's provision has been so incredible. But in the same way that you experience inflation in your homes and all of that, the church experiences that year over year over year. And when our giving doesn't grow, our ability to not only continue doing what we do, but also to dream and continue to move forward becomes hampered. And so I'd share with you one of the cool and incredible things that happened this year while giving has been really flat. I asked our staff in kind of the end of November, December, I said, hey, you know what? There is a big gap still at the end of the year. I'm going to ask us to be good stewards, to not spend anything we don't have to spend just because we want to steward well and make sure we get to where we need to be. And yet, God showed that he is so faithful. We had over $400,000 come in December for our tithes and our offerings because of your faithfulness and generosity. And I give praise to God for that. We ended the year about $100,000 or more over budget. Praise God. That is an incredible thing. And here's the deal. I share that with you this morning because as I begin to look forward, I see the need that is there. But before I jump into that need, can I just tell you, you're going to get to hear in our annual meeting luncheon in just a few moments from Paul Schwier, who's been our treasurer here for a number of years. We had a conversation this past week, and one of the things he told me is the greatest blessing that he has experienced is being able to see how God provides and how God works. God has always been faithful to this church. He has provided every single time for everything that we need, and we trust him in that. And yet we also understand that as followers of Jesus, he invites us to be participants in always surrendering all areas of our lives to him, even in areas that are the hardest, like giving. For me as a young person, giving was hard. I developed that as a spiritual discipline, if you will, being discipled in it by my father when I was young. He was a great example of this to Christine and I. And as he gave us that example, there were years where I was really good at it, and then I wouldn't give, and then I would give, and then I wouldn't give. And oftentimes it's because I was really bad at bringing a checkbook with me to church, and then I'd not bring the checkbook. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'd spend what was in the bank and be like, oops, can't catch up. And so I would get in these habits of not giving. But a number of years ago, the Lord really got a hold of my heart, and he said, Rob, this is an area of discipleship. This isn't about the pastor of a church looking at you and telling you what you need to do. It's me through my word saying, I want you to surrender every area of your life to me and recognize that I have given you resources, not just to provide for your needs, but so that you can use them for my kingdom purposes. And as I began to move to that place of surrender to him, it has become one of the most joyous aspects of my life to be able to give and be a part of his work and to see the things that he is doing. One of the tools that was so helpful for me with that was online giving. Because of my inconsistency, online giving really transformed that. And I wanted to share with you this tool this morning. If you're like, you know, I've had a hard time being consistent and getting into this habit, this could be a potential tool for you. You'll see on the screen here our website landing page, and it looks different. We, by the way, if you've not been there recently, it's a brand new website that we have been building, full, replete with video of our church. You can check it out at westgatechapel.org. But if you go to that top right where you see the green arrow and push the give button, it'll take you to this next page. This next page, it says give now, and that's in that other green circle. You can click on that. It'll take you to another page. And as we look at this page, there's an opportunity to give directly. You can sign up to have an account at the church. You can log into your account. You can set up recurring giving. But again, this is a tool that can help us to grow in our own discipleship in this area of giving. And when it goes to the next page, very, very simple way. The reason I share this with you is because we noticed when we changed giving providers as a church a number of years ago from More Blessed to Tithely, the interface on our website was frustrating to many people, caused lots of issues. And we noticed that online giving dropped. The Tithely interface that we are using is so simple to use. But for me, I will tell you, the greatest joy I have is every month, even though I do online giving, every single month I get an email to me that says this gift was taken out. And it's an opportunity for me to pause and to worship and to give thanks to God and to pray that he would use it, but also to consider and say, God, will you consistently keep my place in a heart of surrender to you in this area specifically? And so I'd encourage you, if you have not been in the habit of giving as a follower of Christ and you want to develop in this area, I would encourage you, start somewhere. And this can be a very helpful and useful tool. Lastly, one of the things is we talk about this area of giving, there are a number of challenges that we're going to face. We did have a good end to the year, but as you will hear later on, we have over $300,000 in capital projects that need to be done this next year. Capital projects are improvements on our building. When you live in an aging building like this, we learned at the end of last year that projects came up constantly, like pipes bursting in the ceiling and water coming onto the stage or air conditioning unit or boiler problems. And so these types of things happen. So we are consistently trying to make improvements. Our lighting system, if you take these house lights below 50%, they all start blinking, and it's not because we want to have a strobe show. But I will tell you, as we think about this, there are some needs and very specific needs that we have. And to help address that, we are going to be launching something called a legacy team. And with this legacy team, let me just give you a quick explanation. In this past year, I've had numerous people, probably for the first time in my time as lead pastor, numerous people come to me and say, Rob, God has blessed me with the ability to give above and beyond my tithe, and there are ways that I would love to be a part of helping to move the vision of the church forward. Could you tell me how I might possibly do that? And here's what's interesting, is in those conversations, one of the things I've realized is that myself as an individual, but also even in many churches, we're not always good. Like, we may put the vision out there, but we don't often share with people what the roadblocks are or how we can help accelerate the vision forward. One of the things that we would like to do with this legacy team is to do just that. This legacy team is going to be for anybody and everybody in the church that so desires to be a part of it. But the legacy team is for those who feel called to give above and beyond their regular tithe in order to accelerate the vision of the church and our gospel reach in our community and throughout the world. The things that we're going to be doing with this team of people who sign up to be a part of it is things like discipleship and generosity, growing in our prayer for the church and for what God is calling us to, having regular updates as to our vision and needs, but also some of the roadblocks that are in the way. We're also going to talk about opportunities to accelerate the vision and ministry of Westgate Chapel through financial resources. That'll be anything from things like capital projects to ministry initiatives here in the church, community outreach and reaching our neighbors, and as well, reaching people globally through missions with the good news of the gospel. I share this with you because if this resonates in your heart and you say, you know what, God has blessed me with a passion and a heart for giving in this way to be a part, we want to invite you to be a part. And if you are interested, you'll again see a QR code that is here at the bottom that you can scan and be a part of that. It's simply all it is, again, is asking for your name and email, and we will give you more information so that you can learn more about being a part of that team. I'll simply close with this before we close with our last song of worship. My hope and prayer this morning, as we have taken a look back, as we have talked about one very key initiative that we want to grow in this coming year as we continue to neighbor, but as we talk about some of the roadblocks, is that all of us as a church would enter into a place where we are dreaming together about what God can do in us and through us when we submit and surrender our hearts to Him. I want to invite you to continue to prayerfully consider how God wants to grow you this year. Would you grow deeper in your relationship with Him? As I said over the last couple of weeks, like, would you make it a habit to be in His Word and praying regularly? Not to do the Christian routine, but to just grow in your intimacy of abiding in Christ? Because I truly believe that as you do, God is going to move in your life. He's going to show you where He wants you to serve. He's going to show you where He wants you to step out in faith. He's going to clearly show you the people that He has put in your life that need to know Him, and He is going to equip you with the boldness to reach them. But it all begins when we submit and surrender our heart to Him. Would you prayerfully go to God and say, God, what do you want to do in me so that I can continue to join you in what you are doing to reach this world with the good news of your Son? Pray with me. God, we love you. I love, God, that you have brought us into this really sweet season where we have been seeing fruit that you are bearing in our lives and in the life of this church. And Father, as we share it and we talk about it, our greatest acknowledgement is that all of the glory goes to you. This is not something, God, that we can orchestrate, but only you. And I pray, God, that in this year to come, you would take us to a much deeper place, and that, Father, you would truly allow your Spirit to move in this church as we surrender to you in such a way that we would see even greater fruit being born for your kingdom, and that, God, you would receive glory. We love you, and we worship you with the surrender of our hearts and our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand and celebrate and worship together.
God is good. Couple of quick things for you as we close this morning. Our prayer team is here at the front. If there are any prayer needs that you have, they would love the opportunity to just minister to you and pray with you today. Please come as we close our service. Also, as you leave today, this is our annual report for 2024. The ushers will be handing these out, one per family, at the back doors as you go today. Be sure to grab one and hear more about what God has been doing over this past year. In just a moment, we're going to head over. We're going to have a great luncheon. You are invited to come over in the gymnasium. Kids Ministry says, please remember to grab your kids before you grab lunch. And then we will, for kids, young kids, we'll have programming for them during the actual meeting portion of the annual meeting. Lastly, I want to take just a moment and pray for lunch. They said, would you please pray for lunch and then send people to eat? So that's exactly what I'm going to do. Pray with me. God, you have blessed us more than we could ever imagine. And we give you all the glory. As we go from this place today, would you continue to inspire our hearts through your Holy Spirit with what you have done in our lives through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would follow you with all of our hearts for all of our lives into every place that you desire to lead us. Keep us sensitive to that, God. Grow us and use us. Lord, as we go together and enjoy this luncheon together, I just pray there would be, again, a continued time as a family, as a church, to celebrate you and what you are doing, your faithfulness, God, to enjoy community and fellowship with each other. We pray your blessing over the meal. We thank you, God, for your provision. And Lord, as we go from this place, continue to give us opportunities to be the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, to a world that needs to know you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Thanks for hanging in this morning. We'll see you over at lunch.